إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kalam and he said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do they not reflect and make tadabbur on the Qur'an, or is it that their hearts are sealed and locked? I remind myself and you that not only is it important to reflect on the Qur'an al-Kareem, but to understand the meaning of reflection. A very good friend of mine sent me a suggestion that he made to some people. And of course, the suggestion is made with good intention. And he said, instead of idle talk and so on in our social gatherings, why don't we pick one ayat of the Quran and reflect on it? Now, on the face of it, it looks like a good suggestion. But if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَحْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah guides many by this and misleads many by this, and Allah does not mislead anyone other than the fasiqeen, other than the rebellious people. I'm quoting this ayat because my friend sent me this ayat as proof of the importance of reflection. But I'm quoting this ayat as proof of the warning against reflection without the usul. Because if you read just the meaning of this ayat, it seems as if Allah guides and Allah misguides also. That is the meaning of that. So, is this our belief of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah misleads and misguides? Then what is the meaning of this? This is like saying, water kills and water gives life. And that's the difference between somebody drinking out of a well and jumping into the well. So if he jumps into the well and drowns, whose fault is it? The water's fault or his fault? Now the issue of a reflection on the Quran, there is a principle that we follow, and may Allah protect us and forgive us. We follow this principle with regard to every kind of knowledge, except the knowledge of Islam. And that basic principle is that to approach any body of knowledge, you have to first learn the principles on which this knowledge is based, the boundaries, the framework of this knowledge, and only then can you approach this knowledge. For example, because we all understand and we read and write and speak English, if somebody gives you a book on heart surgery and says, well, read it and perform surgery. This sounds like a stupid example, because in our manner of thinking, it is actually very stupid. No one will do it because they would consider it to be entirely stupid. But we do not consider it to be stupid simply to hand somebody the Quran and say, read it and reflect and understand whatever you like. How does that work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, explained to us and said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen, has given the mu'mineen a great ni'mah, a great blessing. And what is this blessing? وَبَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah did not say, أَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ Quran. Allah did not say the great blessing is that He sent on them the Quran. No. He said the great blessing is that He raised from them, بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the mu'mineen, and it's a double blessing, that He raised from amongst themselves His Rasul.
So the fact that he raised the Rasul is a blessing. And the fact that this Rasul is not a foreigner, he is from your own people, is an added advantage, an added blessing, an added honor for the believers. Allah did not say the great blessing of Allah is that He sent His Kitab in your language. No. Although the Kitab is a blessing, there is no doubt about that, and I am not comparing one with the other. And the Kitab is in the language of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, to the extent that even to this day, 14 centuries, 15 centuries later, if there is any dispute in terms of a particular word and meaning, then the Mufassirin of the Quran, they go back to how did the Sahaba understand this. And Alhamdulillah, we have records of that. So they say, well, it's not a question of how we understand it today, because some things in the language have changed. We go back to how did the Sahaba understand this. Because the Sahaba took the Quran directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is the ni'mat of Allah? The Rasul is the ni'mat of Allah. Why is that? Because the Rasul unpacks the Quran for you. The Rasul explains the Quran to you. Which tells us a very important thing, which is that the Quran is not possible to be understood without the explanation and teaching of the Rasul alayhi salam. So if anyone thinks that I just take the book, I pick it up and I read it and I understand it whichever way I like, if that was the case, then the people who were most entitled to do this, who were most entitled for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have allowed them to do this, were the Sahaba. Who is more entitled to simply pick up the Quran and read it and say, well, this is what I understand? The Sahaba. Because they got it directly from Rasulullah ﷺ. Their hearts had undergone tazkiyatun nafs. Their hearts had undergone tazkiyah in the sohbat of Rasulullah ﷺ. So if they were to say, well, this is what I think it is, they had the right to say that. They never said it. Not one single instance. Yet today we have people who will just pick up the kitab and they will read an ayat and they will say, well, this is what I think it is. This is what you think it is. Who are you? Who are you? What right do you have to think? What is the basis of this thought? Your mind, your heart. What is the state of your heart? Full of greed and envy and jealousy and hatred and God knows what khabasat and what garbage. And you say, my heart tells me. Your heart is sitting in the lap of shaitan. What will it tell you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very specifically mentioned this. One. In the same ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, mentioned four things. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah mentioned four things with respect to His Rasul relating to the Kitab. Allah did not say, take an ayat and reflect on it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent this Rasul to you. Please first of all understand this Rasul is the greatest blessing on you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is one of you, he is from amongst yourselves. And he has been sent with a complete course curriculum. He will teach you. It's not your job to pick it up and understand it any way you like. No. The Rasul will teach. And how will he teach you? Specific process. What is the process? First, he will inform you. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He will recite to you the kitab. He will recite to you the ayat. So, you hear the words. He is reciting to people who are the experts of the language. So, he doesn't have to recite to them in Arabic and translate into Urdu or English or Tamil or something. No. He doesn't have to explain to them the meaning of the words because they know the meaning of the words. They are the experts in the language. To this day, if you are studying classical Arabic, you are taken to read poetry and literature of poets and authors pre-Islam. The Arabs of that time, they are acknowledged experts in the language, in classical Arabic, which is the language of the Quran, to this day. Join any course, join any Arabic language course and you will read. the poetry and the literature of the Arabs, many of it pre-Islam. So when the Kitab came, when the Quran al-Kareem came, it came in Arabic, it came to a people who were the experts of the language. One of the ways in which many of the big experts of this language came to Islam is by the language of the Quran, not even by the meaning of it. The construction of sentences, the grammar of the Quran. They came to the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they saw this and they said, we are the experts and we can tell you that this is not written by a human being. There is nothing like this on the face of the earth. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with these four things. Yatlu alayhim ayati. Recite to them the kitab. And then what? Leave them to understand because they know the language? No. Vayuzakkihim. Purify them. Now think about that. I am coming to you to read a book. Right? Supposing I come to you and I say, well, you know, teach me. Shakib is an architect. So, teach me this book of architecture. Please explain to me. Shakib says, go take a bath. Are? Ajib. I'm asking you to teach me this kitab. You want sending me to take a bath? I mean, am I stinking or something? But that's precisely what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Yuzakkihim. Internal purification, external purification. Do you have wudu? Do you have ghusl? How are your clothes? Inside your heart, what is there? Internal cleansing, external cleansing. Yuzakkihim. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ and teach them the kitab. Teach whom? One can understand if you say people like us today teach, yes, we need the teaching. But with people who were the experts of the language, what are you going to teach me? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I understand. What are you going to teach me? But obviously there is something to teach. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ and give them wisdom and teach them, demonstrate how is this going to be applied. What is the application of this kitab? So the issue of reflection, the issue of thinking, and inshallah we'll do this over a few days. First point I want to make very clear is this, that the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran is not to be treated like we treat anything else. It is to be treated very differently and very with great care. Because when we say adab of the Quran, for example, adab is singular, adab is the plural. Adab is not simply to, it is all these things also. But adab is not simply to say, I am in a state of wudu and I am sitting and reading and I will not put the Quran on the floor and I will, you know, when I finish, I put it up in a shelf. These are the external aspects of adab which are important. But the adab of the Quran is to approach the Quran in the way the Quran is to be approached. And this was taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Jalla Jalalu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this and this is how he taught the people. So, very important for us to understand that the teacher, the ustad, to learn from the teacher is our tradition right from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this day. Not learn on your own by picking up and reading and imagining something. When people came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn the Quran, when new people came into Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give them the book and say, go read it and understand. No, he sent them to teachers. He sent them to his own wives. If they were ladies, he sent them to the Ummahatul Mumineen. If they were men, he sent them to the Ashabu Sufa. And he said, go learn from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Go learn from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Why? For what? Because they have learned from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is how this whole silsila of learning is till today. If you go and if you look at the classical scholars, the first thing they say, the first thing people ask is, who are so-and-so's teachers? Because this is our tradition. Our tradition is not to pick up the book and learn. Our tradition is, who did you learn from? That adds value to you as a human being. I remember I did a lecture called Pitfalls of Modern Dawah. And one of my friends who was in Egypt at that time, he was at the American University in Egypt. He wrote to me and he said, I showed this lecture to some of my shuyukh here. And these are big scholars of Arabic and Islam from Azhar. So, he said, I showed them to them. They saw the whole lecture. He said, they were very happy and they gave a lot of dua to you. And they asked me, who are his teachers? He said, who are his teachers? A scholar will ask this question. It's not just a matter of saying this is nice or not. No. The issue is, who are his teachers? Because this is our tradition. Our tradition is, we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn from the teacher, who learned from his teacher, who learned from his teacher, who learned from the sahabi, who learned from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our tradition. And there is a reason for this tradition. This is not some old-fashioned rubbish. This is safety. These are the hudud. And therefore, first step of this, inshallah, as I said, we'll do more, bismillah ta'ala, in the coming days. But very important to understand, let us be very clear, don't read the Quran like some, you know, social meeting or pastime, no. Take the Quran, the learning of the Quran, take it seriously as a matter of more than life and death, because matters of life and death end with death. The kalam of Allah stays with us after we die. So, take it as a matter of more than life and death. Treat it with the seriousness that is due to it. And inshallah al-musta'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your lives with his nur and barakah and with the hub of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to save us from all forms of misguidance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.